شرح السنة على الإمام المزني رحمه الله عن تحفظ today was the reading like we mentioned at the beginning of the book. One of the reasons why Al-Imam Al-Muzani wrote this book, inshallah. The Imam said, rahimahullah, والقرآن كلام الله عز وجل ومن لدنه وليس بمخلوق فيبيد. والقرآن كلام الله عز وجل ومن لدنه وليس بمخلوق فيبيد. الإمام المزني رحمه الله said, والقرآن, and that the Quran, كلام الله, the Quran is كلام الله, is the speech of Allah, there is the sayings of Allah, عز وجل, Allah is mighty, Allah is sublime, وليس بمخلوق. This Quran, ليس بمخلوق, it is not a created thing. This Quran is not a created thing. فيبيد, so it will be everlasting. يبيد, the Quran will be everlasting. Why? لأنه ليس بمخلوق, because it is not something that is created. It is a speech of the Creator. It is with Him, it is His attribute. So because it is Allah's attribute, فيبيد, the Quran will be forever. Says, والقرآن كلام الله. This Quran is Allah's speech, عز وجل, غير مخلوق. He said, وليس بمخلوق. The Quran is not a created thing. فيبيد, therefore, it will last forever. Because every created thing has an end. Every created thing has a beginning, it has an end. But the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala is awwal wa laysa qablahu shay'un. Allah is the first, and there is nothing that precedes Allah. And He is al-akhir. Allah is the last. وَلَيْسَ بَعْدَهُ شَيْءٌ. And nothing will come, nothing will push Allah to extinction. He brought everything to existence, and He will put them all to extinction at the time that He likes. Then He will raise creation up as He likes. So His knowledge is everlasting. His speech likewise is everlasting, because it is not a created thing. The Imam said, rahimahullah, والقرآن كلام الله, and the Quran is Allah's speech, عز وجل, Allah is mighty, Allah is sublime, وليس بمخلوق, and the Quran is not a created thing. فيبيد, so it will last forever. You may wonder, how does this have to do with a person being amongst the people of Sunnah? Because this book is to explain what Sunnah is, what Islam is. because we all agree that the Sunnah is Islam and Islam is Sunnah. There is not a good Muslim except that it's a person of Sunnah. What we are saying is, nobody should say he is a Muslim, as he should be a Muslim until you are a follower of the Prophet Muhammad. And the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are those who are following the path that he followed alayhi wa sallam. And the path that he followed is what is called what? Sunnah. So it means every Muslim should be among who? The people of Sunnah. So but today things have mixed up. So when you find a person claiming Islam, you can say, no, I'm not a person of Sunnah. I'm not Ahlus Sunnah, but I'm a Muslim. The confusion and the ignorance in that statement is obvious. If you say you are not a person of Sunnah, but you are a Muslim, how do you do that? How do you separate between Islam and Sunnah? When the Sunnah is the path of the one who brought Islam, this is the way to go. If you want to be a Muslim, follow me. And Allah told us in many places in the Quran, follow him, فَاتَّبِعُوهُ, follow him, aim to say, oh, تَحْتَدِي. If you follow him, you know the way. And he warned us in the Quran. Allah warned us against following a way different from the way of the Prophet Muhammad. Therefore, no person can rightly be a Muslim, genuinely be a Muslim, except that he's a person of Sunnah. So being a person of Sunnah is, in another word, in other expression, saying, I'm a Muslim genuinely as I should be a Muslim. So from the things that people have deviated from Islam, about which people have deviated from Islam, is this issue of ascribing the Quran to be a created thing, saying that this Quran is a created thing. What does that mean? The meaning of saying that the Quran is a created thing is that when he says Alifun Lamun Mimun, so these are creatures of Allah. So it means they will be there over time and they will require renewal. They will reduce, they will increase, they will be subject to change, and they will be subject to extinction. So that is why the Imam said, fire be. So the Quran will remain forever, meaning that its rulings will be forever. So when we see people ascribing that the Quran is a created thing, the second thing they will say after that is that the rules of the Quran, the ahkam of the Quran, are subject to what? Change. Understand this point. Once a person starts talking about the Quran being a created thing, know that what he's telling you, that the Quran is subject to change. He can read a verse of the Quran. When Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا, don't go near zina, he will say, no, but we're in a generation now that you can't say people should not do zina. The Quran is not a created thing, it is subject to change. It is subject to adjustment. And it is subject to extinction, meaning that after some time, its rule will stop to operate. This is the implication of a person claiming that the Quran is a created thing. So the Imam said, Rahimahullah, وَلَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ, the Quran is not a created thing for your deed. Therefore, it will last forever. Let's be a bit closer to us. Some of the people in our time have claimed that the Quran is a created thing. It is not a matter of history alone. Although they talk about that started in the 200 years after the Prophet Muhammad. That was when people began to ascribe and say that the Quran is a created thing, that Allah created the Quran. So let's not say, oh, it's far away. Today there are Muslims who believe that. one of those that has been widely refuted by the ulama about this view is Sayyid Qutb. Another person close to that was Hassan Turabi of Sudan. So that's why in Sudan, you find women that are in the army. They train as men train. They do everything a man wants. They do anything. Because those are some of the foundations that some of those people laid. They believe that the Quran is created. Meaning, so we can adjust its rules. We can change its ahkam. These two individuals and others, they have this view that the Quran is created. And many of the scholars even mention that some of the leaders of Al-Ikhwan are upon this aqidah. So you can see they always change ahkam. They say this, they say no, but we are in a circumstance now, they will find a justification. That action of theirs is a function of that aqidah that the Quran is a creature of Allah. And as a creature of Allah, it is subject to change, it is subject to adjustment, it is subject to extinction. May Allah protect us. But the Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that it is from the attributes of Allah, the attribute of speech. So the first statement of the Imam that wal Quranu kalamullahi, and that the Quran is Allah's speech. The first point of benefit we gain from that is that Allah speaks. Our Lord, He talks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks. Allah speaks. So if you go back and ask and say, did Allah tell us that He speaks? Or how do you know that He speaks? We say, okay, Allah told us that He speaks. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in many ahadith that Allah spoke and He speaks. And He will speak to us. So His speaking, Allah speaking, is not restricted to a time or a place. Allah has been speaking to Allah. Allah speaks to us, and He will continue to speak in the future as He wants, the way He likes. So our Lord is a speaking Lord, a Lord that speaks. Allah speaks. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. We remember the hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud where we were talking about the creation of Adam. That awwalu ma khalaqa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-qalam. So, the first of what Allah created is the pen. That is after water, after His arsh and water. Because He said, wa kana arshuhu ala al-ma. Allah's arsh was on water. So before the pen, Allah had created His arsh and He had created water. And then He created the pen. ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ. Then Allah said to it, that is speech of Allah. Our point of reference is that Allah said to the pen. Meaning that He speaks. ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ. Then Allah said to the pen, اُكْتُبْ, write. This is evidence that Allah who speaks. And in many places in the Quran, Allah told us about that. It says, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَىٰ. Before that, even Allah said to us, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةُ. Allah said to the Malaika. Means Allah said. After the issue of pain, قَالَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةُ. So Allah speaks to us. Then He said to us, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَىٰ. Allah spoke to Musa. There is a tawkid, there is a stress there in that expression. Kallama Allahu Musa. Allah spoke to Musa. If it stops there, the sentence is complete. It's jumlatu mufidako. Wa kallama Allahu Musa. And Allah spoke to Musa. But Allah brought an emphasis. He says, Taklima. Taklim is the masdar of kallama. So if a tawkid in Arabic grammar, if a tawkid comes with a masdar, the ulama of Balagha say that that is evidence that that part of the sentence, that masdar, the masdar, English people call it the verbal noun, that is kallama Allahu Musa taklima, and Allah spoke to Musa speaking. Allah spoke to Musa speaking. So they say this is natyul majaz. It affirms, it rejects any form of interpreting that word to mean any other than what? Speech. Kallama Allahu Musa taklima. Allah spoke to Musa speaking. So it means Allah spoke to Musa. Those who in the history of Islam were rejecting the fact that Allah speaks, they will change this verse. It is وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ. They say it is وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهَ Musa. That is, Musa spoke to Allah. One of the scholars of Qira'at, Ibn al-A'la, one of the people of Itizal went to him and read that verse like that to him. And he said to him, let's, for the purposes of argument, accept that verse is kallama Allah Musa. What about what Allah said in the Quran? I think in Al-A'raf, what did he say? It says, walamma ja'a Musa limiqatina wa kallamahu rabbuhu. It says kallama Allah Musa taklima. It says kallama Allah Musa taklima. Okay. Falamma ja'a Musa limiqatina wa kallamahu rabbuhu. How do you change that? In that verse, Allah says, when we invited Musa alayhi salam to the place, we agreed to talk to him. Wa kallamahu rabbuhu. And his Lord spoke to him. You can't say wa kallamahu. How do you change that verse? Says, instead of saying Allah, he said Allah. In the first verse, the Imam said, accept, I agree. So, but how do you read? وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. Do you say وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبَّهُ? You don't say وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبَّهُ. You say وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. Because Musa cannot be the one talking to himself. If you say كَلَّمَهُ رَبَّهُ, you may be implying that Musa was talking to himself. So it says, وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. That is evidence that the first verse is what? وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى. So Allah speaks. Our Lord is not dumb like idols. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam in Surah As-Saffat, Allah reminded us about what happened between Ibrahim and his family. They were going to worship at the outskirts of the city. So he says, me, I can't go with you in Nisaqim. I'm weak. I'm tired. I can't go with you to your place of celebration. فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ آلِهَتِهِمْ فَقَالَ أَلَىٰ تَأْكُلُونَ. Ibrahim alayhi salam now went to the idols they had set and left food for. A few days ago at the junction there, I'm surprised at this. That's why I'm mentioning it. There's a junction if you are coming from, okay, if you are coming from the roundabout at Lameco, you go into Rokia State through that, the end of that road, I saw a pot and echo and egg there and oil. In this time too. So Ibrahim went and was asking the idols of his parents, Ala ta'akulu, you idols, will you not eat? You know idols don't hear. Neither do they speak, neither do they see. But Ibrahim was asking, you God, they are God, supposed to be being worshipped by the people. Allah ta'akulu, God that creatures bring food to. How weak is that God? SubhanAllah. So Musa, Ibrahim alayhi salam was asking, Allah ta'akulun, will you not eat you these idols? Then he says, Ma lakum la tantikun. What is wrong with you that you cannot talk? Ma lakum la tantikun. Ibrahim, raga alayhi barbam bil yameen. Ibrahim pounded the idol with his right hand. A God that cannot talk and was provided food and cannot eat. Ibrahim gave it a hand. That was what Allah said. Bil yameen, which is right hand. The point of reference here is that the one that cannot speak cannot be Lord, Allah. And that was why Ibrahim was blaming that Lord. What kind of Lord are you? La tantikun. You people cannot speak. You be idiots. Pointing to the God, the people worship at him. Ma lakum. When somebody told ma lakum, it means what is wrong with you? La tantikun. You are not answering me. You cannot eat. But our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah speaks, but idols don't speak. Because they are weak, they are imperfect. The dumb is imperfect when you compare it to the speaking person. Likewise, the deaf, when you compare it to the one that hears. So Allah is the one who speaks, and Allah at the same time is what? Sami. So Allah hears and speaks, indicating perfection. So our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he hears and he speaks. The point of reference, fourthly in this issue, is that Allah speaks. But what will we gain from believing that Allah speaks? The first thing we will gain from believing that Allah speaks is that we recognize that he's perfect. We recognize that he spoke the Quran. So when we read the Quran, we know that we're reading divine revelation, the words of Allah. It should be in our mind. When you read the address of a governor, maybe May 29 address of a governor, how do you feel in your mind? The governor's address, is it not? When you listen to a presidential address, how do you feel? The president. His excellence. People sometimes don't even call their names, go. His excellency becomes the pronoun for them. Is his excellency around? Is his excellency coming? Is his excellency the excellency before them? What about Allah, the creator of the excellence? By the creator of all excellence. So when you read his words, how should you feel? Should you read Allah's word? Should we read the Quran and be absent-minded? Should a Muslim now, knowing that this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then be absent-minded? Should Allah's word be read, the Quran, and then we are talking and gisting? If we really realize that this Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we pay more respect to the Quran. We pay more attention to the Quran. And we would like to read the Quran. Because this is the Lord of the mighty throne talking to us. And then we'll pay attention. So that is why it is important for us to have it deep down in our hearts that these are the Lord's words. These are the words of Allah. Another point of benefit for us to affirm the fact that the Quran, that Allah speaks one, and then that the Quran is one of those things, part of what Allah has spoken, is the fact that when Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah, oh you who believe, fear me, have consciousness of me. Oh, وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Do not take a soul that Allah holds holy. Allah considers to be very, very sanctimonious. Don't take life. You will have that feeling that the creator of the life is the one that is addressing me. So it will hold you back. You pay attention to it. You hold back. Allah is talking to you. You will have taken decisions and say, well, lie, I will do so, so, I will do so, so. When you hear Allah say, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la taf'alu, don't do so, 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 so. You say, okay, Allah has to. So it will increase our submission to Allah. When you realize that those commands that you read in the Quran are the words of Allah, they were actually spoken by Allah, then when the words are recited, you have the desire to follow what is recited. This was one of the reasons why the companion, Ibn Abbas, you find it a lot when he explains the Quran. He will say, Sami'tu Rabbi, I heard my Lord saying, as if he was hearing when Allah was saying. But why does he say that? Because it is well affirmed in their hearts that once the Quran is read, Allah is talking to them. So they respect the Quran, they listen to the Quran, they pay attention to the Quran, they read the Quran, they worship with the Quran, and they obey and implement the instructions of the Quran. So for many Muslims today, because the reality of the fact that the Quran is the word of Allah is feeble in our hearts, when the Quran is read, it does not do the work that it should do in us. It does not. There are many examples in the life of the companions that when they do something, insisting, this is what I'll do, this is what I'll do, when the verb comes down, on the spot, maybe we should give this example. One of the companions gave his sister in marriage to another companion, his friend. Hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim. So, the friend divorced the sister, and the sister returns to his house. One of the things any man will do to another person that will be so painful is to divorce his daughter. The family, when you divorce their daughter, they don't take it easy with you. So the companion said, Wallahi, I will never marry my daughter to you, my sister to you. I honored you with my sister, and you divorce her? You? He started vowing, saying, Wallahi, Wallahi, Wallahi. This girl, I will never marry her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the mind of the woman to become inclined to the husband again. She wants to return to her previous husband. And he too, Allah put the love of her in him. He also wants to take her back. So he came again. Say, brother, please, that's your sister. I want her again. He said, wallahi, wallahi. Wallahi, I won't. Wallahi, he was what? Making oath, I will never give you my sister. When I gave you the first one, you divorced her. This time, Allah said in Surah An-Nisa, فَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ أَنْ تَنْكِحُوا أَزْوَاجًا. Don't prevent the women from marrying their, returning to their husband. The companion said, I held back. So he went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet said, you have to make kafara for the oath you have made, and then you have to marry the woman to the husband that she likes. The point of reference, brothers, here is that even when they have made oath, they have decided to do something, when a verse of the Quran comes down, on the spot they change their intentions, they change their decisions. You know why? Because they know it is Allah who is speaking to them. But we, many things happen, you read the verses 50 times to the Muslim, you say, oh no, not today. I do not think there's anybody in the presidential cabinet of this country who will be told that Mr. President says this, and he will say, I know go green. Is it possible? Maybe we can find somebody who is bold. When he says, sack all the doctors. One instruction. Was it not? What did the Minister of Health do? He sacked the doctors.
What did he say then? But Mr. President, why should you say I should sack doctors when there is Ebola? Can he say that? So when Allah talks to us, what do we say? How do we react? Because the reality of the fact that it is Allah talking to us is still little, small in the minds of people. So when Allah gives us a command, people start thinking, going forth and backward. And that's why he said, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ. It does not befit any believer, male or female, إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, when Allah and His Messenger decide a matter, أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ, for them to say, they still have one choice. This verse itself is one of those examples, perhaps it should be. This verse came down regarding Zainab bint Jahash and Zayd ibn Haritha. Zayd ibn Haritha was the adopted child of the Prophet Muhammad. He used to be called Zayd ibn Muhammad. And then Allah changed the rule. Say, Udu'uhum li'aba'ihim huwa aqsatu indallah. Call them by the names of their father. That is the thing that is fair before Allah. So instead of calling him Zayd ibn Muhammad, they started calling what? Zayd ibn Had. You see, immediately they changed the instruction. They changed the implementation. So Zayd lived in the house of the Messenger. Zainab is a relative of the Prophet, but within the range that the Prophet could marry her, she wanted to marry the Prophet Muhammad. But the Prophet wanted her to marry Zayd. So the Prophet was encouraging her, marry Zayd, marry Zayd, marry Zayd. She was saying, because she wanted the Prophet Muhammad. So when the verse came down, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. It's not befitting for them, Muslim, male or female, when Allah decides a matter and then His Messenger decides, for them to say they have an alternative, she accepted to marry Zayd. And the marriage went on, even though the marriage still ended in divorce. As Allah went, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah still made her marry the Prophet Muhammad. Not only that, zawajinakaha, it was Allah who married Zayd to the Prophet. If you ask who was the waliyu of Zainab in her marriage to the Prophet, it was Allah. She used to boast with it in the house that, look, Allah from the above the heavens ordered that He has married me to the Prophet Muhammad. Not only that, He left the verse in the Quran for us to read till eternity. So if we realize that the Quran is the word of Allah, it will increase our submission to the laws of Allah in the Quran. So the Quran is the word of Allah. We bring one more verse and proceed. There are a lot of examples. The fact that Allah speaks and the fact that the Quran is from the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That verse is the verse in Surah At-Tawbah, the major verse in this subject. Allah said, وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرْهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. He says, وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. O Messenger, if anyone amongst the idolaters is tajaraka, seek asylum. One mushrikon say, oh please Muhammad, please, they want to kill you. It's for ajir. Give him asylum. Hatta soda yan yilgaya. Hatta yasma'a kalam Allah. So that mushrik, that polytheist, can hear the word of Allah. What is the word of Allah the polytheist will hear? Quran. Bittifaq.
فأجره حتى يسمع كلام الله.
Grant him asylum so that he will have opportunity to listen to the Quran. And many of the mushrikun who had this opportunity became Muslim. I remember the hadith of Jubair ibn Mut'im in Sahih Muslim, reported by Abdullah ibn Jubair ibn Mut'im, his son. How Jubair became a Muslim. He left Mecca and came to Medina. He didn't find a place to stay, so he was sleeping inside the Prophet's masjid, mushrik.
And Imam ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he said, this is evidence that if we find some mushrikun who, when they listen to the Quran being read, the hadith being read, Islam being preached, could become inclined to Islam, when they come into the masjid, allow them. The evidence is this. One of the evidences is this hadith of Jubair ibn Mut'im. Jubair ibn Mut'im slept in the masjid. And the Prophet was performing Salatul Maghrib, alayhi salatu wa salam. They did not wake him to start and go out of the masjid. See adab. The Prophet said, stand up, get up, we want to pray. He left Jubair. Jubair was sleeping. And he heard the Prophet reciting Surah At-Tur. Wat-Tur, wa-kitabim mastur. He said, when he started mentioning, am khuliku min ghayri shay'in, and humul khaliku, were they created from min ghayri shay'in? Did they come into existence without that there was a creator who made them? Or were they the ones who created themselves? He said, the first thing that came into my mind is that I should accept Islam. The Muslims were performing Salat al-Maghrib. He went into the bathroom, he made ghusl, and joined them in that Salat al-Maghrib. Because even the mushrikun, they considered the Quran to be mighty. So when mushrikun have opportunity to listen to the Quran being read, the Quran being explained, Allah draws the heart. Because the Quran conforms to the innate nature of human beings. So when we hear it, we become inclined towards its message. So Jubair ibn Mut'im became a Muslim. So he says, وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ, when anyone amongst the mushrikun seek asylum with you, فَأَجِرْهُ, grant him the asylum, حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ, so that he may hear the words of Allah. And one of those who heard the word of Allah as a mushrik and then became a Muslim was the example we gave in the case of who? Jubair ibn Muslim. So, but the evidence we needed that verse in Tawbah for is the fact that Kalam Allah, the Quran is what? Kalam Allah. So Al-Imam Al-Muzani said, Rahimahullah, Wal-Quran Kalam Allah Azza wa Jalla غير مخلوق وليس بمخلوق فيبيد. So the Quran will remain forever. There is also an expression that the ulama add, and I think it is in our book too. It says, وَمِنْ لَدُنْهُ كُبْ, it says, والقرآن كلام الله عز وجل, وَمِنْ لَدُنْهُ, the Quran has come from Allah. Jibreel will hear it and then come and read it to the Prophet Muhammad. So it is from where? From Allah. That is what Allah told us in the Quran. He said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This Quran, لَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. It's a revelation of the Lord of all that exists. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This Quran is a revelation from رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. نَزَلَ بِهِ الْرُوحِ الْأَمِينِ. Ruh al-Amin, the trusted, the trustworthy spirit, that is Jibreel alayhi salam. نَزَلَ بِهِ, he brought it down, he had it and came with it. He said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ, he placed it in your heart, لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنْذِرِينَ, so that you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you become among those who one with the Quran. So this was how the Quran came. Jibreel had it and he will bring it to the Prophet Muhammad. So that was why he called it, he called him Amin, trustworthy, because he will say what he heard. Jibreel will transmit, will convey to the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah's speech that he heard from Allah. Meaning that the Quran is not from Jibreel, neither is it from who? From the Prophet Muhammad. Who is it from? Allah. So he says, wa min ladunhu, and it is from Allah. Some of the scholars in the books of Aqidah, they will say, minhu bada'a, that is, it is from him that it has come. And they will say, wa ilayhi ya'ud, and any ascription of the Quran should be made to Allah. When you ascribe the Quran, the ascription of the Quran returns to Allah. Although some of the ulama say, wa minhu ya'ud, wa ilayhi ya'ud, means that at the end of time, Allah will still remove the Quran. And that is authentically reported to in al-Hadith collected by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. So this was how the Quran came, and that is what our disposition towards the Quran should be. So al-Imam al-Muzani said, وَالْقُرْآنُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَمِنْ لَدُنْهُ. We understand now, وَالْقُرْآنُ كَلَامُ. The Quran is the speech of Allah. وَمِنْ لَدُنْهُ, and it has come from Allah. وَلَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوكٍ, the Quran is not created at all. It is not a created thing. فَيَبِيدْ, therefore the Quran will stay forever. The rulings of the Quran will be forever. I've heard a lot of Muslims, when they do a thing and a verse of the Quran is read to them, they say, oh no, that is in the past, you can't do that now. So the Quran, يَبِيدْ, will be forever. To last forever. Why? Because it is a feature of Allah. It is Allah's attribute. It is not a creature of Allah. وَالْقُرْآنُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ, the Quran is the speech of Allah. وَمِنْ لَدُنْ, and it has come from Allah. وَلَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوكٍ, the Quran is not a created thing. فَيَبِيدْ, therefore it will last. The Quran will remain forever. This issue was brought in this book by Al-Imam Al-Muzani because, like we mentioned when we discussed his biography, in about 210 years after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, there was one of the rulers at the time. His name was Harun Rashid. Harun Rashid died, but before he died, he had a man around him called Bishr al-Marisi. This man, Bishr ibn Ziyad, was amongst the people of I'tizal, that is, people of philosophy. They philosophize everything. That's why a lot of philosophers have problems with this. Amongst them was Ibn Sina. You know Ibn Sina in medicine? If Muslims want to say, the first people who first wrote it, he has a book, Al-Qanun, in medicine. Ibn Sina. He has a belief like this too, that the Quran came from inside the Prophet Muhammad. Many scholars gave him takfir as a result of that. Ibn Sina, because he was a philosopher along the lines of Aristotle. So an Aristotle and people like these do not believe in revelation coming from heaven. So Ibn Sina shared that opinion, that the Quran is something that comes from inside the Prophet Muhammad. Because the Prophet had a pious heart, so a pious heart that is connected to a deep thinking mind will bring the kind of message we have in the Quran. SubhanAllah. That's the position of Ibn Sina. Among Ibn Hajar rahimahullah in Lisan al-Mizan, it says, Ajma al-Muhaddithun ala kufri. Scholars of Hadith are agreed that he is a kafir.
But that is not our own issue here. The point is that the Quran is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not from inside the Prophet Muhammad. If we say it is from inside the Prophet, then we have said the Quran to have come from the Prophet. And the one who says, La qawlul bashar, the Quran is the word of a human being. What did Allah say? He says, Sa'uslihi saqar. He says, Zarni wa man khalaqtu wahida. Leave me alone with the one khalaqtu wahida. Can mean two things. Zarni wa man khalaqtu wahida could mean leave me with the one that I created him alone. Zarni wa man khalaqtu wahida could also mean leave me with the one that I created. He was alone, he had nothing. Waja'altu lahu malan. When I created him, he did not have anything. Was anybody coming from the womb of his mother with anything? In fact, Allah says, La ta'lamuna shay'a. So he says, Khalaqtu wahida. I created him alone. Or I created him, he was alone, not having anything. Waja'altu lahu malan. Then I gave him wealth. Mamduda, extensive. Wabanina shuhuda. I gave him a lot of children that are always with him, helping him. You go and bring this. Wamahattu lahu tamhida. I made it easy for him to be able to achieve whatever he wanted. Thumma yatma'u an aziz. Then he's thinking that I, Allah, should make it like that for him on the day of Qiyamah without believing in me. Allah says, Kalla. That cannot be like that. Why? Innahu kana li ayatina anida. Because he deliberately turns away from our signs. Sa'urhiquhu sa'uda. We are going to make him face a difficult punishment on the day of Qiyamah. A punishment that is like, you know, when a person is rising, climbing a mountain, he will be finding difficulty, but he will not be able to come down. If you are climbing a mountain, especially very steep, the higher you go, the more it becomes difficult for you to breathe. So Allah attributed the punishment to sa'uda, difficulty. He said, sa'urhiquhu sa'uda, thumma innahu fakkara wa qaddara. Aha, when he rejected Allah's message, fakkara, he began to think, wa qaddara, and giving estimation. Thumma kutila. Kutila is like Allah cursing him, woe be to him. Like he said, kutila ashabul ukhdud. So woe be to him. He is thinking and estimating because he wants to reject our signs. He says, summa abasa wa basa. He turned away and he started thinking. The message is being recited to him. The Quran is recited to him. But he turns away and started thinking. What will I reply this Quran? Summa adbara wa stakbara. Then he turned again in his arrogance. فَقَالَ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلُ الْبَشَرِ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ يُؤْثَر. This Quran is sihr. Yu'thar, that is having effect on people. He called the Quran influential sihr. Sihr that will influence any, that is magic, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. Like sorcery. If you listen to that Quran, it will catch you. So they say, you, Usar, it is influential, it is effective, effectual. In hadha illa qawlul bashar. This Quran is no other than the statement of a human being. So when people say, like Ibn Sina said, that the Quran is from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's similar to this statement from Al-Walid ibn Mughira. Allah says, Sa'uslihi saqar. He is saying that this Quran is the word of a human being. Abi, we will put him inside the fire. So any person who says the Quran is a statement of human being, what did Allah say he will do to him? Sa'uslihi saqar. I will punish him in the fire. So we understand the importance of these matters now. They are not simple matters. May Allah protect us. So in the history of Islam, there were people who came and started disbelieving in this fact that the Quran is from the speech of Allah. They got involved in a lot of people. So it became a widespread fitna. There were some of the scholars that were killed as a result. Some of them were in prison for a long time and they died in the prison. Some of them were chained and they traveled for long distances and died as a result. Al-Imam Abu Ya'qub al-Buwaiti, the person who took over the halqa of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i in Misra, Abu Ya'qub al-Buwaiti, they came to the masjid and asked him, "Ya Sheikh, this Quran, what is it?" "It's a kalamullah, wa laysa bi makhluqin." They took him like that. They chained him on his neck, on his hands and his legs. And he walked on his feet between Egypt and Sham, Syria. He died as a result. Abu Ya'qub al-Buwaiti. Likewise, the teacher of Al-Imam al-Muzani, Nu'aym ibn Hammad, he was in prison and he died in prison. Because when the scholars do not agree with them that the Quran was created, they will not be able to bring new things they want to bring, you understand? And in those days, you cannot change a thing until the scholars stamp it. If you want to bring an illegal governor now, you will need the Commissioner of Justice and Attorney General to swear in that person. Abi, that is how it is. So they needed the scholars to approve. Many of them were in prison. Many of them ran away. Many of them fearing for their lives. The Quran was, yes, it was created. وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ. While his heart was well established over the fact that the Quran was not created. But so that he can just leave and the fitna could go. So because of that, Al-Imam al-Muzani used to avoid that issue. When people bring it, he said, "No, don't bring that issue to me. Go take it to another person." This is from his own hikmah. There are issues today when people come to you and say, "What is this?" Keep quiet. Tell them to go to somebody else. The one who likes to answer every question, if you are not careful, he finds himself in every mess. When you like to answer every question, you find yourself in every mess. So Al-Imam al-Muzani, rahimahullah, will not answer questions when they came to him. Go and ask somebody else. And that was again for the fact that Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, their teacher, used to tell them, don't get involved in this matter. When people start talking about it, don't get involved. So Al-Imam al-Muzani kept away. Because of that, some of the people who already had jealousy for him. Because know this, brothers, when Allah blesses you, definitely there will be jealousy against you. When you are blessed by Allah, maybe as a result of knowledge, some people say, Let me say this. I once heard that somebody said, was refuting another brother and said, "That brother, he can present issues. He can present issues, so don't go to him." So when the matter came to me, I said, "How can somebody say, because somebody is very good at his presentation, is the reason why you should not go to him?" And Allah praised Bayan. It says, "Ar-Rahman khalaq al-insan." What did he say for? "Ar-Rahman allama al-Qur'an khalaq al-insan allama hul-bayan." Allah is praising himself by the fact that he taught man bayan. We know the meaning of bayan, clarity of speech. I made man to be clear in his speech. The one who is not clear in his speech is like Bahima. Buhuma is an attribute for animals. The meaning of Buhuma is somebody who cannot speak. He does not have, because animals don't speak. They communicate, but their speech is not clear like ours. Allamahul Bayan. So I told the brother, if the brother said something that contradicts the Quran and the Sunnah, correct him. He said, no, he didn't say anything, that then his bayan is not a problem. So most of statements like these come as a result of what? Jealousy. Jealousy. And one of the things with which Allah packages knowledge in any person that he gives knowledge is what? Bayan. If Allah blesses you with knowledge, he will give you bayan. There is no scholar from amongst the scholars of Islam who, when he starts talking, you don't like to listen. Or when he writes, you don't like to read on. Bayan. Sheikhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, when he's speaking, people like to go on. Likewise, Ibn Qayyim. Likewise, on Imam al-Albani. When we listen to their audios, do you like to stop? There are audios that you listen and listen and listen. Bayan. Bayan. Bayan is a positive attribute, basically. It is when people now begin to use it to divert people from the truth to falsehood, then it becomes a problem. That is the meaning of the hadith, that inna min al bayani lasih. That is what it is talking about. Al-Allama Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen explained this point in his first volume of his Al-Qawl al-Mufid ala Kitab al-Tawheed. Towards the end of the first volume, he explained this hadith in detail. It is not every bayan that is sihr. The bayan that is sihr is the bayan that takes the people away from Islam, that takes the people away from the truth. Otherwise, even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did Allah not give him Jawami'ul Kalim? Jawami'ul Kalim is the Prophet will say a few words, you will like to listen to it again, and that word is full of what meaning. So, normally people envy others. There's a word people use now, I don't know its correctness in English. They say they beef people. Beefing. Is it the correct word? They say they beef. It's normal amongst human beings. I mean normal, you see it. So, people were jealous of Al-Muzani rahimahullah. And they started accusing him that he has an opinion that the Quran is a creature of Allah. And I had told us the implication of that. So one day, in a place called Afrablos, some of the scholars were seated. We'll read it to us because it is the last part of this discourse today, inshallah. It says, قال عبد الكريم عبد الرحمن بن معاذ بن كثير. This sheikh was the one reporting this event. He said, جالست علي بن عبد الله الحلواني بأطرابلس المغرب. I was sitting with علي بن عبد الله الحلواني at أطرابلس المغرب in the western part of it. Or in Madrid, in Morocco, in a city in it called Atrablus. It says, في مجلس مذاكرة. It was a sitting of scholars. In those days, learned people would sit down and they begin to discuss issues of knowledge. What do you have? Did you hear something from the Prophet regarding this issue? They exchange knowledge. It says, وَكُنَّا جَمَاعَةً مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْإِلْمِ. We were a number of scholars, meaning that he too was what? Was a scholar. I said, "Kunna jama'atan min ahli al-ilmi bi madhhab al-sunnah," and we are all upon the sunnah. He said, "Fajara dhikru ulama'i bidhalik." So we started mentioning the scholars of sunnah, mithlu Malik, like al-Imam Malik, wa Shafi'i, like al-Imam Shafi'i Abu Abdullah. Muhammad ibn Idris, wa Abu Hanifa, wa Abi Hanifa, and al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, and Uman ibn Thabit. This is evidence that the scholars amongst the early Muslims, amongst the people of Sunnah, they considered al-Imam Abu Hanifa amongst the scholars of Sunnah. There are some young grudge-bearing young Muslims today who make takfir of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa. Subhanallah. This is evidence that they are upon error. This Sheikh said, Rahimahullah, so we were scholars, we were talking about knowledge, and we started talking about the scholars of Sunnah, like Malik, like Shafi'i, like who? Abu Hanifa. So Abu Hanifa is not only one of the scholars of Islam, he's a person of a Sunnah. Rahimahumullah. Wa Sufyan al-Thawri. So they were talking about Sufyan al-Thawri wa Dawood al-Asbahani. That is Al-Imam Dawood al-Zahiri. These people that you mentioned, Malik, Shafi'i, Abu Hanifa, Sufyan al-Thawri, Dawood al-Zahiri, they are all scholars of Mazahib al-Fiqhiyya. But regarding Aqidah, they are all upon the single Mazhab of what? Sunnah. I hope this point is clear. He said, wa Ishaq ibn Rahway. Ishaq ibn Rahway, one of the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. We are talking about Sunnah. We are mentioning them. This makes us understand also a point too here is that the Mazahib of Fiqh are not restricted to four. The four are the most famous. Otherwise, there were scholars of Sunnah who also had Mazhab, like Sufyan al-Thawri, like Al-Imam al-Tabari, like Imam al-Layth. All these people had Mazahib, as these Imams we are talking about. He said, wa Ahmad ibn Hanbal. We are also talking about Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He said, wal-Muzani. So we mentioned al-Muzani. He says, fa'arada mu'aridun. One of us said, no, don't mention Muzani. He said, fa'arada mu'aridun fil Muzani rahimahullah. Regarding al-Muzani, somebody said, no, don't talk about him. It's not amongst them. Rahimahumullah. Wa qala laysa min jumlatil ulama. He said, al-Muzani is not in that category of scholars. Kulna, we asked him, falima dhalik, why did you say that? What is the reason for what you said? Qala, he said, لأني سمعته يتكلم في القدر. Because I heard that he has a view that contradicts the Sunnah regarding Qadr. He says, ويجادل بالقياس والنظر. يجادل, he gets engaged in dialogue. بالقياس, using juristic deduction. والنظر, and logic. So I heard that he is upon that. Meaning that amongst the scholars of the past, when a person contradicts the Sunnah in the issues of Aqidah, they don't consider him as being amongst the scholars. He said, فَغَمَّنَا ذَلِكَ أَن نَسْمَعَهُ عَنْهُ. We were feeling pain. Today, some Muslims will be happy when they hear that another Muslim scholar falls into a trouble or errs regarding a matter, they are happy. They will help spread that mistake even without making an attempt to correct him. Even without making an attempt to be certain that he had actually erred. Even without finding out at all. In fact, they will be happy that alhamdulillah that he has erred. But in their time, this gammana, we felt bad. أَنَّسْمَأَهُ عَنْهُ, to have heard this kind of a thing from him. وَأَحْبَبْنَا أَنْ نَعْلَمَ حَكِيقَةَ ذَلِكَ, and we want to know the reality, the truth regarding that. فَكَتَبْنَا إِلَيْهِ كِتَابًا, so we sent a letter to Al-Imam Al-Muzani رحمه الله. نَسْأَلُهُ, we were asking him, أَنْ يَشْرَحَ لَنَا حَكِيقَةَ اِتِقَادِهِ, that he should explain, أَنْ يَشْرَحَ لَنَا حقيقة اعتقاده, فهو سمى الكتاب شرح السنة. So we were asking him, أن يشرح لنا, that he should explain to us, he should give us bayan of what is your Aqidah Muzan. Tell us, explain to us. في القدر, regarding قدر, والإرجاء, believing that if a person does evil, it does not affect his iman. That is the meaning of what? Al-Irja. Wa Sunnah. Tell us
Where are you regarding the sunnah? Wal ba'th wal nushur, that is resurrection on the day of Qiyamah. Tell us about it. Wal mawazin, and the fact that Allah will bring mizan on the day of Qiyamah. Fa'amma man saqulat mawazinuhu. There are some amongst the Muslims who do not believe in some of these things, and yet they ascribe themselves to Islam. So we are seeking to know from Al-Imam Al-Muzani, tell us, what Sirat? We know Sirat. We are coming back to these issues. Because Muzani wrote about them all in this book we are reading. He says, what Sirat? We know Sirat, the bridge that is over the hell. That Allah says, wa in minkum illa wariduha. There is not anyone amongst us except that he will pass through the bridge. So thin and so slippery. Some of the people will fall into the fire from that. May Allah protect us. And even the Anbiya, when they cross Sirat, they will be saying, Allahumma sallim, oh Allah, please take it easy. Make ease for us. It is part of the difficulty of the day of Qiyamah. We are coming back to it in this book because Al-Muzani responded to all these matters. Rahimahullah. He says, وَنَظَرُ النَّاسُ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِ الرَّبِّ تَعَالَىٰ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And the fact that the people will see the face of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Because we will see Allah, inshallah, may Allah count us amongst them. We will see the face of our Lord on the day of Qiyamah. Allah says, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَ إِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. We will see Allah. We'll come back to these matters. Because Imam al-Muzani responded to each of them, one after the other. He says, وَسَأَلْنَاهُ الْجَمْعَ وَالْإِخْتِصَارَ فِي الْجَوَابِ. We requested him that he should be brief and concise in his response. فَلَمَّا وَصَلَ إِلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ. When our letter got to him, رَدَّ إِلَيْنَا جَوَابَهُ. He sent this book to us. So this was the reason why the Imam wrote this book we are reading. Because they were accusing him that he believes that the Quran is a creature of Allah, which would mean, as we explained at the beginning, that he is any person, like we said, who says the Quran is a creature of Allah. What the person is saying that the Sharia is not continuous. You can change anything you want from it. It is subject to change. So that was why the Imam came to this book and started to say, وَالْقُرْآنُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَمِنْ لَدُنْهُ وَلَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ فَيَبِيدٍ. وَالْقُرْآنُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. The Quran is the speech of Allah, عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَمِنْ لَدُنْهُ. And it has come from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ. It is not a created thing at all. Fayabid. Therefore, the Quran will live forever. It will exist forever. Its ruling will operate forever. This is the reason why the Imam started. And if you read at the beginning, he responded that we will know that he was actually giving a response to a group of people. That he said, "Asamana Allah wa iyyakum bi taqwa wa waffaqana wa iyyakum li muwafaqati al-huda." What I'm reading is in the book we have. It says, Amma ba'du fa innaka aslahaka Allahu sa'altani an udhiha laka min as-sunnati amran tusabbiru nafsaka 'ala at-tamassuki bihi wa tadra'u bihi anka shubha al-aqawil wa zayga muhdathati ad-dallin faqad sharahtu laka min hajan mudhihan munira lam alu nafsi wa iyyaka fihi nusha بدأت فيه بحمد الله ذي الرشد والتصديد. This is the muqaddimah of the book, indicating all that it was in response to that request. And this was what the Imam was upon until he died. Al-Imam al-Muzani, till he died, was upon the fact that the Quran is from the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not from the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the scholars said he went to Al-Imam al-Muzani on his deathbed. He says, دخلت على أبي إبراهيم المزني
I went to meet Al-Imam Abu Ibrahim Al-Muzani fi maradihi alladhi mata fihi, in his illness in which he died. فَقُلْتُ لَهُ, so I said to him, مَا قَوْلُكَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ, what will you say regarding the Qur'an? فَقَالَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ, on his, the last sickness he had before he died, Al-Muzani still said, it is what? كَلَامُ اللَّهِ غَيْرُ مَخْلُوكٍ, it is not a creature of Allah. He says, فَقُلْتُ, so the man said, هَلَّا قُلْتَ قَبْلَ هَذَا, why did you not say this one before now? قَالَ الْإِمَامُ الْمُزَنِ, the Imam said, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ, لَمْ يَزَلْ هَذَا قَوْلِي, this has ever been my opinion. وَكَرِهْتُ الْكَلَامَ فِيهِ, I have just avoided repeating and talking about it. My opinion from time is the opinion of the scholar that this Quran is the speech of Allah and its rulings will live forever. لِأَنَّ الشَّافِعِي, the reason why I had avoided to speak about it was that Al-Imam al-Shafi'i kana yanha anil kalami fihi, he used to prohibit us from talking about this issue. Yani al-bahtha wal-jidala fi dhali. He used to make us avoid researching, talking about it, because at that time it was an issue of fitna, for which some of the people were killed, for which people were in prison. It means when a scholar sees a matter that is dangerous to his students, which could lead them to die, he could advise them, avoid discussing this issue. Avoid talking about this matter. Because they were in the zaman of what? Fitna. The point of reference, ikhwa, is that Al-Quran kalamullah. The Quran is from the speech of Allah. Azza wa jalla wa min ladun. And it has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa laysa bi makhlukin. It is not a created thing at all. Fayabi. Therefore the Quran will live forever, it will remain forever as a truth, and its rulings will remain ever useful in our daily lives. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us understand this point better than it has been said. Many of those who are saying today that we should adjust Islam, we should adjust the Quran, we should adjust the Sunnah, they have these thoughts that after all it is a creature of Allah. And we gave a few, very few examples. Otherwise there are a lot of people thinking like that. There are a lot. Who is saying, but you have to adjust, you know, you have to adjust. Some say it not knowing the implications of what they are saying. So the Sharia will remain forever, valid in every place and in every time. We'll stop here for today, inshallah. Ameen. If we have questions regarding this matter, I'll be more pleased with it. Alaykum salam. Ameen. Kaleemullah. People say Musa Kalamullah. Musa is not Kalamullah. Musa is Kalimullah. Fa'il, bima'na maf'ul. Kalimullah, the one that Allah spoke to. Because he said, Kalamallahu Musa taklima. Fahuwa kalimuhu. That is the one that Allah spoke to, and he was hearing Allah and returning the reply. Allahu Akbar. Allah spoke to Musa. It says, وَنَادَيْنَاهُ مِنْ جَانِبِ الطُّورِ الْأَيْمَنِ, we invited him in a part of Mount Tur, the right side. وَقَرَّبِنَاهُ نَجِيَّ, we brought him close and we were talking to him. Musa alayhi salam. So he is Kalimullah. Yes, there is another messenger that Allah spoke to like he spoke to Musa alayhi salam. And that was who? The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. But the Prophet's speech with Allah, or Allah's speech to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even took place in the heavens. The Prophet was talking, Allah was hearing, and he was replying his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also Kaleem. But the person amongst the Rusul that is popularly known for that name is who? Musa alayhi. Now, alaykum salam. Now, tafaddal. We said all the scholars are clear in speech. What about Musa alayhi salam? When he was going, he begged Allah for it. To make you understand the importance of eloquence. When he was going to Musa, اذهب إلى موسى, what did he say? وَقُلْ رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةَ. Make me eloquent. This, my thoughting, remove it. If it was not important, Musa would not beg Allah for it. So Allah says, I answer. Allah says, I grant your request. Eloquence is important in da'wah. Eloquence. Shu'aib, alayhi salatu wasalam, the ulama refer to him as Khatibul Anbiya. Shu'aib, he is said to be one of the most eloquent amongst the prophets of Allah and the Rasul. Shu'aib. They call him Khatibul Anbiya, making us understand the importance of eloquence in da'wah. May Allah grant us beneficial eloquence. Alaykum salam. Aminu anti. Better. There are two forms of issues that comes up amongst the scholars. One form is regarding the rulings of Sharia on the matters of Sharia. They may differ on it. One is ruling that so is permissible. Another will come and say, no, there is one evidence, kaza, showing that like this is permissible. How do we deal with such situations? You deal with the situation according to your level of knowledge. If you are a very strong student of knowledge, and many of the people are weak now, we are just reading on internet and Facebook, everybody is saying students of knowledge. Wallahi, we are reading this, a lot of people saying we students of knowledge. I've seen one brother say that. We used to tell younger students of knowledge, say we students of knowledge. It is true that everybody that is learning Islam is talibul ilm. But it is something that one does not quickly say about himself, we are tulab. Ha ha. But there are actually students learning Islam. And there are actually very strong students of knowledge, versed in the language. I wouldn't expect somebody who reads English fatwa from Islam QA to be thinking that it's in a position to start using that as a basis to deduce and know what he's going to do, whether this scholar was right or this scholar was wrong. In most of the cases, he will not get it right. So Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, if we read his book, Al-Khilaf Bayn al-Ulama, he mentioned three categories of people. The first category are those they can't find out to verify the matter by themselves from the original sources. He said, look for one scholar of Sunnah that you know and trust, be following his opinion. That person is a mukallib. Look for one scholar of Sunnah, you know and trust him. When he says this is the correct thing, you do that one. When he says this is the correct thing, you just be going on. When others are saying it is wrong, scholar so says it is correct. So me. So that is the lowest level. The ulama always discourage us from being in this level. Because what has brought that person to that level is what? Some level of ignorance. May Allah protect us. The second level of the Muslims are the students themselves. They are learning. They have the ability to verify the facts. If they say one hadith is somewhere, they can trace it, they can check it, they can read it, they understand the meaning. They know the rules with which scholars deduce rulings from the hadith or from a verse of the Quran. They can read the books of tafsir. So be sure, is that what actually the ulama said? They said Imam al-Baghawi said we can go back to tafsir al-Baghawi, manazil al-tanzil. And all of these, ma'alim al-tanzil, to verify the facts. If they say the hadith is authentic, he can find out by himself. This kind of a student of knowledge, when the scholars differ, he has to weigh, he'll be weighing which of them, because he understands the language of the scholar in terms of Arabic and other sciences that the scholars are using. He can on his own determine, this is right, this is wrong. Or this is right, this is more correct. This is right, but this is stronger. He can know. He said that one should base what he will take according to the strongest opinion. After research, sometimes they would not have researched. They would just accept an opinion. I know it's one of the greatest scholars today in the Muslim world. The first day I met him in Makkah, I was asking him about the hadith. He said, the hadith is like this. I said, but so said the hadith is this. He said, I'm sorry, I have not studied the hadith. So I'm still holding the opinion of so and so. How is that? Scholar himself. But because he has not researched the matter, he was depending on the opinion of a scholar, Sheikh Al-Albani specifically. When I said what some scholars said it, he said, I have not studied the issue. But I'm still holding on to the opinion of the Imam Al-Ali. When he studies the issue, he will be able to know whether he should remain there or he should change his opinion. There are many examples. In fact, Sheikh Al-Albani himself did that on some masail. I remember issues. In the issue of divorce, if a man divorces his wife when the woman is menstruating, does the divorce count against that man or not? Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is of the opinion that the divorce does not count. But others like Sheikh Ahmad Shakir and others, and Imam al-Shawkani and many others, are of the opinion that the divorce counts. I listened to an audio by Sheikh al-Albani regarding this issue. Somebody asked him that does the divorce count? He said, yes, the divorce counts. The person now said, but Sheikh, I had asked you this question 20 years ago. You said that it does not count. But today, you are saying that it counts. The Sheikh said, when I said that 20 years ago, I was convinced by what Ibn Taymiyyah said, so I followed him. He said, but I sat down and researched the issue myself. He wrote a tahqiq of that hadith in 19 pages. It's in Irwal Ghalil. He said, so I saw the hadith clearer than I did. So I changed my opinion 20 years after. So when we say people like Sheikh Al-Albani are students of knowledge now, so if you want to call yourself students of knowledge, you must know where you belong to. So this also happens to the third category, the scholar. So sometimes you can have an opinion, a student of knowledge has an opinion, because he has not researched the issue himself. That opinion is the opinion of a well-known scholar of Sunnah. So he will say, but the day someone else comes to him, they say, look, this opinion is wrong. He has two things to do. He will stick to that first opinion, and then he will research the second opinion to check its validity. If it is valid and stronger than the first opinion he was holding, he left it for the second opinion. And if it is not, then he remains upon that opinion. So that is how to handle differences among scholars. What about the second issue he raised? One scholar says, this scholar is not a person of Sunnah, is it? Like that. Say it as it is. And the other one says, this person too is not a person of Sunnah. How do we handle this difference? Is it? It is the second kind of difference that we witness today, especially. So what do we do? The same thing. If you are somebody who is strong enough to investigate the issue of difference by yourself, then you know whether it is true to accept the statement of Sheikh A to say that Sheikh B should not be listened to, is a person of innovation. If you are strong enough, you'll be able to investigate the issue and say, no, although Sheikh A said this about Sheikh B, I think he was erring, he was mistaken, as they have mistakes on issues of Sharia, because this issue of ruling regarding individuals too is an issue of Sharia. So the same way to be handled. So if you are strong enough to go into the issue and face it, and check it and see who was right, who was wrong, do that. But if you are not, respect yourself. Stay by one of them and stop talking about the difference between the two of them. When you do that, you'll be putting yourself in your right place. When people ask you, Sheikh so-so, they say, no, don't bring me to that. Just leave me. We are too young. Unfortunately, today on the net, every person is a carrier of every information about Sheikh A, Sheikh B. It is not knowledge itself. That is not where knowledge starts. Go back to the basics. When we should be busy learning Quran, learning Arabic, learning Fiqh, learning Aqidah and these issues, because it is when we finally grasp these issues well, when a person is said to be on a negative opinion, we know, okay, so that's what he's saying. Why we don't learn it? Where do you start from? So avoid getting involved in those issues. Many of the times they confuse a lot of people. It confuses people a lot. There are a lot of examples, but this is not its place. Allahu A'lam. Ameen. We still have a few time. Is it sunnatic to read the whole of the Quran in a gathering to ask Allah for something? You can do that on your own. You want to beg Allah, you can read the Quran by means of supplicating to Allah. You can read the Quran on your own. But to gather people and distribute the Quran to them to read, this one lacks basis in the Sunnah. And mind you, you don't need to read the entire Quran for what you need to come to you. Surah Al-Fatiha is sufficient with sound iman. For Muslims today, we have a lot of troubles. Fatiha will do what you want. If it is protection you are looking for, he said Falak and Nas is good for you. So what are you running to go and meet Afa to do something for you? You can do it yourself. So to gather the people to read Quran, distribute copies of the Quran, you read Izawaka, you read Yasin 41, they lack basis. Can it also be written and washed for drinking? There are some amongst the scholars who say that can be done for a dumb person who can't read the Quran, he can't do anything, so ignorant.
He's so ignorant, he doesn't know anything, he doesn't do anything. Although the most correct thing is that it is not allowed. Allahu A'lam. If you read Kitab al-Tawheed by Ibn Abdul Wahhab, these points will be clearer. Can one name one's child by your name? For example, the father's name is Abdullah, and he names his child Abdullah. Yes, you can do that. You can name your child by your name, and you will not be calling him Junior. May Allah not make them Junior. Name him by your name and call him. Abdullah ibn Umar had a son whose name was what? Abdullah. So that boy was Abdullah ibn Abdullah ibn Umar. So it's allowed. Many scholars have named their children by their own names. In fact, we have Muhammad ibn Muhammad ibn Muhammad, an Imam al-Jazari, who has Manzumatul Jazariya. Muhammad ibn Muhammad ibn Muhammad, I think three or four. Muhammad ibn Muhammad ibn Muhammad. And in the north, you can have a man naming all his children Muhammad. All the boys Muhammad. That's why you hear Muhammad Awwal, Muhammad Thani, Muhammad Thani. So if you hear Muhammad Tafi, you should know that those are nine Muhammad. Especially amongst the Fulani. Fulani is like the Prophet Muhammad. So they name him a lot. Muhammad, Muhammad. So it's Awwal, Thani, Thani, Rabi. Any person you hear, his name is Muhammad Rabi, you should know that he is the fourth Muhammad in their family. So that is also allowed to you. What are the qualities of a bad wife that can make the prayers of the husband not to be answered? Most times people like to put issues to the women. Some of the men too are bad. Some of the men too are not doing well. So as the husband can say she's a bad wife, the woman can also say he's a bad husband. So let's not always think that it is the woman that must be bad. May Allah protect us. But the person said that can cause a man's answer, a man's prayer not to be answered. There are some things a woman can do that can make the dua of the husband not to be answered. Yes. If you ask me, how do I even say that hadith? Where is it? If I call the Mustadrak Imam Hakim and Musnad Imam Ahmad, what does it say? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that three people, their dua will not exceed their throat. The first person are those who have wives that are insulting to them. The wife will be insulting the husband. You are stupid, you are mad, you are idiot. Another issue, you are bad, you are stupid, you are idiot. The woman says that to the husband. Are you mad, you are stupid, you are this, you are that. The woman says that to her husband. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, if he keeps hand does not give up her, when he supplicates, the supplication will not go above the heavens. There's a hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad. A man came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and said, he has an insulted wife. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wa sallam, talliqha, go and divorce the woman. The ulama say this is evidence that one of the reasons that can make a man leave his wife is what? Abuse. Not because she just told you one day that, Abu, are you sure you know what you are doing? He said, hey, you don't want my daughter to be outside. Oh yeah, pack your load outside. Because people are funny and they always find excuses for their own problems. They will say it was one Abu Nasir that said so. You know what it means when they say a woman is abusive. There are some women that a pole, they can abuse a pole. You know pole? Pole. They will abuse the pole and the pole will bend. as they say. So women like this, talk to her. Sheikh Ibn al-Uthaymeen, he went the other way in Sharh al-Munti. So when you have that kind of a wife, talk to her and admonish her. He said, but if you refuse to keep her for that reason, we will not blame you. Rahimahullah, Imam. So, it's not good that women are abusive to their husbands. Don't see, it's not a sign of goodness at all. And men too, we need to be very patient when women come like this. May Allah protect us. The second person is the person borrowing somebody money and he's not writing it down. You want to borrow somebody money, you didn't document it. You write it down, have a record. And the third person is the person who is giving his money to somebody that he knows will waste the money. You know, Allah had warned us. Says, "Wala tu sufaha amwalakum." Don't give idiots your money. When you know somebody will waste your money, don't give him. When you give him, if you supplicate, Allah will not answer. So those are the three people. And I think this answers that question from the sister or brother. Allahu A'lam. Because I think the person was interested in the first issue. The women who abuse their husbands. Please, women who do that should adjust and do that which is right. This question is a personal answer question. It's not a question we can help somebody. Is it permissible for a lady who uses veil but is still in school and as a result she pulls it off at times to make people see no reason for her using the veil? It's a personal issue. Nobody will tell you keep it. You are the one that will take that decision by yourself. If you choose to leave your veil everywhere you go in the school, if you choose to unveil, it is your issue. It depends on your view regarding the veil itself. Allahu A'lam. Let me stop there. The last question, inshallah, for today. Is it permissible to say, because, for example, in an institution, some new students are not that conversant with Islam. Therefore, we are organizing prayers where the Quran will be read, recited, and some people offering prayers together. No, don't do that. You don't teach somebody a good game in a bad way. You don't teach somebody a good thing in a bad way. If you say, you want to teach them Islam, which is a good thing, but the way you are going is bad. And the end does not justify the means in Islam. So the time you use for that group prayer, use it to tell them about the meaning of La ilaha illallah. The meaning of Muhammadun Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Many Muslims don't know the meaning of Muhammadun Rasulullah. So, this is the reason why it is important for us to organize those kind of gatherings. But not prayer gatherings. Don't organize prayer gatherings. If you want supplication, you can organize a gathering to educate people on how to make dua. This is another way. Not by making the dua and telling them to learn in process, no. Educating them that if you want to make the dua, these are the procedures. These are the best times to make dua. This is how not to make dua. This is what to do like that. You can do that also. We beg Allah to keep us guided at all times. We beg Allah to make us better Muslims, to accept our acts of worship, to protect us at all times. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.